BTC, rhymes with the homie, that's TDV, got that LTC and that ETH, watch me wreck this beat while we eat their cake, can't block this chain, best encrypt your stash, yeah we got big gains, that's that crypto cash, politicians hate it, bankers wish they made it, we could starve the beast, stop the war machine, maybe, tried to call us crazy, very ineffectual, you pay me, lazy intellectuals, haha. Yeah, we're laughing at these banks. Swiss accounts for all, no taxes for the state. Yeah. It's all the way out. It's all the way out. It's all the way out. All the way out. Straight to the moon, Bitcoin. All the way out.
It's the Henry Ayn Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, approximately 12:05. To approximately 1 o'clock, but we'll be running over a little bit late if you're listening live today. And in the studio with us, we have Solis Digital Assets, Alex Solis. Good afternoon again, Alex.
Well, welcome, everybody.
And we have TradingView.com's Goldbug One. Andy?
Thank you again for having me, Henry. Yes.
And the newest addition guest slash into the studio, Colleen, who on Twitter you can find at Crypto Noob Girl, and she has an active, very active timeline, very funny and entertaining. And which came first, Colleen, your interest in crypto, or I mean, the name of it would sort of imply that crypto came first, but I don't know, what you could have had another interest before Twitter. Which came first, your Twitter timeline or your increasing interest in cryptocurrency?
Right. Well, I've had a Twitter for quite some time in more of the political sphere, so that I don't really visit anymore.
Where's Augie when you
it's
need
not
it?
As fun as the crypto Twitter, for sure.
Well,
and I'm a happier person not going
on
there.
That's funny, because I did 12 or 14 years of political talk and tried to start it again, and it just wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this turned out to be much more interesting.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I think my crypto birthday was August 9th or 10th, I want to say, and then...
Of last year?
No, this year. Oh. I've only been in crypto for like 2 months.
Ah.
Yeah.
You certainly accumulate a lot of followers on Twitter in that much
time.
Yeah,
I guess people like looking at weird, stupid
male-dominated interests by a woman that's interested.
Something.
That's like you could be the queen of the comic book store.
Well, that'd be pretty neat.
It's amazing how many women are in cryptos and how many younger ladies are involved in cryptos. It wasn't like back when Henry and I were younger, where, you know, it was a male-dominated, you know, trading was male-dominated. But now, today, you see a lot of young ladies and a lot of young women involved in crypto technology.
Well,
and
if you
I
ever
think that's
watched
great.
The Wolf of Wall Street, why wouldn't women want to be involved in that?
No, dear.
Why wouldn't you want to follow her Twitter feed?
Yeah. So, I'm almost speechless, but I thought I won't be. So only just over two months.
Yeah.
Okay. So who was the first person that, you don't have to name real names,
mm-hmm.
but who was the first person who brought cryptocurrency to your attention?
Oh, okay. Well, gosh, that was a few years ago. I was at a house party in Wisconsin, and someone had some party favors and happened to say they bought it with Bitcoin. So that was my first exposure to it.
Like
obviously
funny hats and stuff like that at the party?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Don't do drugs. I guess I just kind of thought of it as a black market type of currency. Didn't really think much of it. And then, Alex here actually rekindled my interest in it, I guess. He works at the gas station that I go and buy my gas from.
Which has the Byte Federal ATM.
Yes, it does. And
which is how he trolls for clients.
Exactly.
Free advertising.
So he was shilling Bitcoin for like a month. Every time I'd come in, he was pretty enthusiastic about it. And, you know, I'd be like, oh, that's neat. You know, he'd be looking at his coins
and
on his phone.
Did you do any
other
kind of investing?
No.
Okay.
No.
Were you the type of person that, like, made sure you contributed to your IRA or your 401k?
Oh, no. I'm horrible with money. Terrible.
Okay. Everybody take notes.
Don't do what I do.
Okay. So, but you did have enough spare money that you gave this a shot.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, he kind of showed me what was going on, picked out a few coins, really didn't know what I was doing, didn't understand Bitcoin, just kind of was like, well, neat. And I think I woke up the next day and had doubled my money, which, oh my gosh. So, I mean, that kind of gave me some cognitive dissonance, like, what is this, some scam, you know? But
that's like called Souls Digital.
Yeah,
you
they
wake up like that.
Oh my god!
Have a morning with Souls Digital.
Anyways, so yeah, I've just been digging into it more, and I'm more and more excited about it, and yeah, I think it's legit.
I do have to warn you that this this conducts all, everything through these spring loaded booms.
Oh.
So not to put you on the spot, but
fair.
She's excited, Henry.
Yeah, as we all are. So, did you think your first investment, I mean, was that like going out for a night kind of investment? Was that like a car down payment investment? Or was it just...
No, it was like maybe going out for two or three nights kind of investment.
Okay. But so, and then did you continue to...
Question, were you buying party favors with those nighttime investments?
Just alcohol.
How much money can funny hats cost? All right. So, at Crypto Noob Girl is the timeline. You can check out and get wisdom on demand there. So, did you just continue to trade that initial money, or did you decide, hey, this is working pretty good, let's put some more money in?
Yeah, no, I keep throwing more money into it. I still have my original coins, most of them anyway. So
like, I guess, Goldberg, this sounds like she's dollar-cost averaging into the currency. Both of you, but let's start with that. Do you advise people of that, or do you look more for the trade timing?
No, I'm more just long-term hold. I believe in long-term hold in this one, really. That's my my main thing. If you want to trade, that's Andy's the trader. He's the pro.
Yeah, but Andy was saying 70% of his is long. Do you dollar cost average periodically the same or similar amounts of money based on your cash flow or what?
Absolutely. For new investors, that's the way to do it. You know, you allocate so much out of your paycheck every week. You put a little bit in, $25, and you're buying the highs, but you're also buying the lows too. So you cost average over a period of time, and that's without a doubt the best way to invest.
If you're in a long-term trend.
Yeah, I mean, you're never – most people don't realize 90% of traders lose 90% of their money in the first 90 days of trading. I mean, it's your long-term investing is always going to outperform most traders, period. It's the best way to go for new investors. I see a lot of them on trading.
How long until you were turning a consistent profit in your trading?
Well – I was 20 years investing before I started trading in 2004. And let me tell you what, there are some bumps in the road and there's some expensive learning, you know, you're going to go through some expensive learning issues. The key is you do not want to put all your money in one thing. And that's why I really highly recommend, especially to the young people out there, put 70% of your money away, put it into those solid coins like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin. Those Ripple. I love Ripple. I know a lot of people are Ripple haters, but I really like Ripple. And then experiment with a small portion of your money if you want to trade.
One of the things that messes traders up is the emotion, the fear and the greed. Do you get emotional about watching your holdings in cryptocurrency coin?
No, I only check my bags every couple of days. I just don't care.
Hey, that's the way to do it. Put it in there, shut your computer, and don't turn on the news.
Yeah.
As many people at Merrill Lynch and other investment advisors will tell you, just give them the money.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different way of looking at a profession. So, in the 2 months that you've had this, well, let me ask you this. When was the last time you checked?
Yesterday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a good morning to check.
Yeah. It certainly was.
And do you want to say, like, how you felt about it? I mean, did you have a sense of satisfaction? Or?
I wouldn't say satisfied. It's not like my bags are going crazy right now because they're mostly alts and a lot of them have been bleeding. But, you know, I'm up above my, you know, fiat investment, so that's good.
Well, she's already learned the terminology in 2 months.
That's great.
She can start her own business, really.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So talk about your Twitter timeline. So you're active. I know that from looking at it.
Fairly active. I probably tweet once or twice a day, and then I just go around and mess with people.
maybe it's just because whatever the Twitter brain is, it's always throwing up, have you seen this? And it's always one of your tweets, so.
I just can't get over the party favors. I'm still stuck on that.
Yeah. Well, she'll be regretting that, though.
Oh, boy.
So, but you put up a lot of GIFs on there. And
yeah, it's kind of an odd obsession. I don't know.
Did you used to do that on the political side?
No, never. Well, I mean, I did some memeing, I guess, but no. I mostly did a lot of retweeting and then messing with people there, but not a whole lot of gifting.
So what caught your fancy on the political side when you were doing that? You were just a news junkie, or?
Yeah, pretty much, and a troll. So, okay. If you know what that is.
Liberal.
What?
No.
We're not talking about this.
Trump for second term.
Jeez.
I think we're digressing, Henry. Let's get back to Bitcoin.
You don't want to pull me into this one. But at least not on the air. All right. So let me regroup here. You said we were going to look at what's going on. Jamie Dimon, let's start with him and how he doesn't really care what goes on. He wasn't going to talk about it, but then he got dragged right back into it.
I got to ask the B question. Bitcoin. You made a lot of news. What's the bottom?
I could care less about Bitcoin. I don't know why I said anything about it. The blockchain is a technology, which is a good technology. We actually use it. It will be used for a lot of different things. God bless the blockchain. Cryptocurrencies and digital currencies, you know, I think, are also fine. You know, J.P. Morgan moves $6 trillion around the world every day. We don't do it in cash. It's done digitally. If it can be done digitally with the blockchain, so be it. But it still be a dollar cryptocurrency. What I have an issue with is a non-fiat cryptocurrency, dollar. So crypto, sterling, euro, yen, they're all fine. I don't personally understand the value of something that has no actual value. You all can do whatever you want.
One of the things that you need to point out, when you're dealing with the major banks, and he deals around the world, he's also dealing with the central banks of the nation states. And they depend on this, the creation of money, usually it's created by these major banks loaning the money out. And I know in the crypto space, there's a lot of people that, more than a lot, the majority of people that I see are really down on that idea. They're definitely not Keynesian economic people. They want a finite number of dollars or francs or things like that. But there is a whole purpose for that. But on the other hand, if you did have a currency that you can't increase the money supply of, it sort of puts his function out of business, not to mention the fact that technically it can do a lot of things that we are paying them to do now.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people, the reason why Jamie Dimon's upset is because they make money on those money transfers. I mean, when they transfer, you know, $100 million from Zurich to Prague, I mean, they're making a percentage of that. With cryptocurrencies, they get cut out of the mix.
Right. And having Base in it, maybe it's Base Coin, I don't know, but it's got an algorithm, and it will increase or decrease the supply based on the algorithm, which in turn is probably monitoring economic conditions. So in the same way the Federal Reserve increases or tries to decrease the money supply, mainly increases, there's a cryptocurrency in development that they hope will take that place. And I would think that people like Jamie Dimon will be all over that and want to get in on that.
Yeah, it's an inflation-based currency. So as you know.
Do you know the name I'm talking about?
I'm sorry.
Do you know the name of it I'm talking about?
No, but there is another one out there that I saw. Then it's the same. It's the same type of thing because a lot of problems with like Bitcoin is there's 19 or 14 million coins out there right now, but a lot of them have been discarded on hard drives or they're you know people die, they have them, and who knows what the key is. So those coins actually go to the graveyard. So what some of these coins are coming out
like comic books in the attic.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so what some of these coins are coming out with is an inflationary thing. As the economy grows, so does the currency, but it's done on an algorithm and not the Federal Reserve printing money.
And Alex, you haven't found the name of the...
No, but Ethereum does that. Ethereum creates their own, creates more coins. But Ethereum's not a currency.
Well, but...
Would have it have to be a currency?
You can't...
What
do you mean by creates? It's
like Ethereum doesn't have a finite amount.
Okay.
They can just go. You create more and more. I think they vote on that process and
the core developers.
Yeah, there's a lot of coins like that. It's almost like 40%.
Well, and that goes back to Ripple with Goldbug. You like that? But I think 80% of because that's a proprietary one. It was created by a company or corporation, and it's used in a lot of the major banks use that for transactions and clearinghouse type stuff, as I stumble out into my lack of knowledge here. But I do know that much. But one of the criticisms is that 80% of it or so is still being held by the corporation, and they could flood the market or pull it back at will. Why do you trade that with that kind of risk?
Well, first of all, if I have that kind of that's a market moving stack. I mean, that's not something you're just going to flood into the market. You'd kill your own stack. So people that have those types of they're going to bring them in slowly. And I think they actually signed an agreement with the original founder that they would only issue so many a quarter to keep from flooding the market. But it's with $200 billion is traded in an hour on the Forex exchange. So Ripple has a huge supply count, and for that reason, it will probably become the money transfer mechanism for these large banks that don't have their own, like J.P. Morgan and that.
Okay, if we spent more time listening to Jamie Dimon's clip, which we don't have, he would say, I don't know who's interested in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Well, one person that seems very much an advocate and interested in it is the head of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, and she was caught up with by CNBC, and we have those comments courtesy of that.
Taking risk is in not watching, in not understanding. And yes, there are frauds, and there are speculations, and there are Ponzi schemes. But I think we should just beware of not categorizing anything that has to do with digital currencies in those speculation, Ponzi-like schemes. It's a lot more than that as well. We are about to see massive disruptions. The way in which the new technologies are lowering the cost to make financial transactions more accessible, even in very small numbers, for people who do not earn much, who do not deposit much, and who do not borrow much, and how those technologies can actually have a track record of the credit history of somebody in a very short while, and then be able to dump those people towards the best use of their money, I think is already massively disruptive.
Well, she seems much too egalitarian for a central banker, but she obviously sees the horizon and sees the changes that are coming. I know one of the problems I have talking about this with people is I don't really have an explicit sense of how different the world is going to be in a few years, but I know it's going to be different. And, you know, so you wind up trying to talk to people in terms they understand, like before the Internet or after the Internet, before a smartphone or after the smartphone. And, you know, I can listen to some of these things. I say, oh, that's going to change. That's going to change. But it's going to change things in a way, in a texture of our lives that we don't understand. Have you ever get that kind of experience when you try and tell people about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is going to change the way things are done because not everybody has the opportunity with fiat currencies to be able to trade and barter as other ones. If I'm in China and I'm selling in yuan or rubles in Russia, I don't have that market mechanism that allows me to trade freely with other people in the United States. With cryptocurrencies, those barriers are broken. So it will change for, you know, it's evolutionary in how we can get money to, you know, to be able to trade and barter. And one note on that is the international the UN, the United Nations, actually used Bitcoin in crisis in India in order to get money to the people there where it was hostile to go in, but they were able to transfer Bitcoin to the people so that they could actually buy supplies and services there. And I think that's going to, you know, again, it reaches people without having to do money transfers and everything else.
Well, I think what's coming, and it is hard to explain, is we do transactions all the time. You go in, you buy your Coke at the 7-Eleven or wherever, and you know, you go to McDonald's, you go to the grocery store. All those interactions don't really have to happen anymore. The changing of the money, the checking out, pulling up to the gas station, things that we take as normal won't be around.
Absolutely, because, you know, digital currency has been around for years, and we just don't realize it. When you use a credit card, you're using a digital currency. What Bitcoin and the cryptos take out of it is you no longer need that third party. So I don't need Visa to, you know, I'm not entrusting my money to somebody else to make sure that it's valid or not. How many times have you gotten a credit card charge on your credit card statement that wasn't yours? So this protects people and gives the power to the people in holding their own currencies.
And Colleen, you're now working on your third month of being involved in this.
Right.
Are you to that point where you're trying to tell people about what's coming, or are you just still trying to tell them, look at this asset and what it's doing as far as growing in value?
Yeah, I don't really shill a whole lot of people on it. As I get a deeper understanding, I'm certain that I will. I've got some close friends that I've talked into taking the plunge, but, you know, I'm not a big preacher on it just yet.
So she's not an evangelist yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Alex, you have any thoughts you want to add to that? I know we got a segment for you coming up, and we probably do have to wrap up here pretty quickly.
Yeah, I just want to say something real quick. If people don't believe that blockchain's coming, they need to go to Walmart, go to the self-checkout. You can pay in by Coinbase for some weird reason. It works. I don't know where the Bitcoin goes, but it works. When Walmart has a thing called Walmart Pay, when that symbol goes up, you can send Bitcoin there. But the transaction
through Coinbase.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I tried that with other codes, and it doesn't work. Only if that really has a code to accept the Bitcoin. So Walmart has a Bitcoin wallet. They can lie all they want, but I know for a fact Walmart has a Bitcoin wallet.
So you just do the QR code from your Coinbase?
Yeah. I'm going to make a big video about it.
Have you checked to see if it's exchanging at a fair rate to you or not?
You could just send it. It says how much you want to send them. You go right over there at Walmart's QR code, and it asks you how much you want to send them. You send them $10, $1.
And it's just whatever Coinbase exchange rate is at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, so Walmart basically accepts Bitcoin, but
whatever Coinbase's spread is.
And yeah, but Walmart has a Bitcoin wallet, yeah.
That sounds good.
It's a theory, but I believe it's become a fact very, very soon.
Alex, you're blowing the cover.
Walmart's already been in blockchain. They do their ordering in blockchain. So they're already there. They've been there.
Yeah, some of the idealism that I get from people that are involved in all this and about how the world will be such a better place when it's all done, and I think I put a text out to you guys. I don't know if you bothered to pay attention to it. But the whole idea of smart contracts and how it's going to make everything fair, if I was a tenant landlord and I had a sharecropper, or if I had a like an old southern town or northern town with a company factory and the company store, you could oppress people in ways you haven't even thought of yet. They don't eat until they've produced the commodity, and you don't even need an overseer to enforce things. Just the system by itself. If systems were oppressive before, the right people could make something that more oppressive than we've ever seen before, too. But that's something I guess we'll do on a different show, or maybe hopefully never. Alex, you have something, as usual, the Solis Digital Assets brings us a cryptocurrency to examine and to track and look at each week. What do you have in mind for us this week?
Okay, I'm a big believer in the music blockchain market. I believe at least two or three platforms will work. What they do is an artist can create their own music at the house, send it to the website, and the website allows them to sell the music to anyone in the world, and they will not need Virgin Records or any of them anymore. they could just sell it straight to the artist, which people already do, I believe, on iTunes and everything, but iTunes will take it, is taking a cut. So now you could just take 100% of it, give them a little bit of, give the company a little bit of transaction fee, which is less than a penny, instead of like 50, 60 cents on your song. It's called Voice. It's V-O-I-S-E. I really like them. They come out with their first alpha app, they call it, alpha 0.1. Comes out in 4 days. They call it a blockchain-based decentralized music platform. It's going to be where you can just upload your music and sell it to anyone in the world, and then transfer your voice coins to your whatever fiat currency you live in. And it started off as a penny a week ago, and now it's currently at 2 cents. And I believe after the app comes out, people are really going to get excited about it and dump more money into this, invest into it, because it's already being used by artists already.
V-O-I-S-E.
Yep.
And it's already on the major exchanges?
Yeah, it's on. It's been in the market for a while, but they recently redid their whole business, and now it's on Coin Exchange. That's when I bought it off of. Ether Delta is a very popular exchange. Litecoin, I don't recommend that exchange. HitBC, I don't recommend that either. But Coin Exchange, it's a real bloaty exchange. Like, it's not that good as Bittrex, but it's easy to buy in there. It's not that bad.
Okay.
I think that's huge for that industry too, because BMI and all those licensing companies, they starve those artists and give them such a small percentage of their profits and what they should be getting, and they keep the boat of it.
Alex, you brought us a cannabis token as a feature a few weeks ago. Oh, TKS, was it?
Tokes.
T-O-K. T-O-K. So, but now I see there's a lot of competitive tokens in that same industry. So how do you sort through which ones you should be? Are you still sticking with the one you recommended, or are you?
Yeah, the first one I was in was Potcoin, because they're very great. They're the original one. They're the first cryptocurrency for marijuana industry, and they also sent Dennis Rodman to North Korea this year to promote peace, which that's huge. Potcoin's developers left a couple years ago. Yeah, they left a couple years ago. So that company really didn't do good in the beginning. But this would have been the greatest thing ever. But now others are picking up the slack, because Potcoin, you know, had some trouble. But that's all.
One you brought us
was Tokes. They're already doing transactions and holding money for banks for dispensaries. So that's why I like them, because they're already in the game. So the ones already in the game you want, and there's a dead NFL player's wife created one too. It's all there's a Facebook ad. A new one. I don't really suggest.
So you're not worried about the competitors coming in and this value has already peaked?
No. This has a long way to go. There's a lot of them, though. You got to be careful.
I think that's critical. You know, first to market penetration, a working product. That's the coin you want to be in. The rest will fall away.
Yeah, Tokes also has a gift shop coming out, so that's another perk.
Oh, I can't wait for that gift shop coming out.
I wonder what they sell.
Do they accept Bitcoin?
We should have mentioned in the first half, but we will hear in the second half. For those of you who are wondering about Augie, he's traveling this weekend, and we expect him back on the show next week. I know he'll be sad that he missed today's show. And hopefully he'll get a chance to meet Colleen at another week here. Or
oh, I hope so. He's an interesting cat. I can't wait to meet him.
That'll keep him going for a while. All right, I want to thank Alex. Solus Digital Assets, you can look that up on Facebook. Probably the best way, and he'll tell you about that new website coming out that's launching this week. Goldbug on TradingView.com, Goldbug 1. Is there a Goldbug 2 on TradingView?
I think Goldbug was already taken, so I had to go with Goldbug 1.
Did you ever figure out who the Twitter Goldbug 1 handle was?
No, I didn't. I don't even have
it. It's been inactive since 2009.
Yeah, I don't do Twitter.
So you can probably just start it again. I know there's duplicate handles out there. You just have a different email.
Yeah, I'll have to get Alex to set me up on that. He did a good job getting me to the cryptos, and I have to get have him set me up on.
And
hey, I'm the expert here.
Oh, okay.
What the heck, man?
I make my girlfriend to get mad, though.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a problem.
Big twin girl.
We can chaperone. She can sit there with her phone, and you can sit there with your phone, and you can set up your Twitter account.
Great.
Hey, that's always
we'll
an
Facebook
idea.
Facebook it live.
I don't have Facebook. So.
Oh, that's okay. We can. All right. We'll let all that go. We'll put this.
We digress quickly here, don't we?
Yeah. Moving along, guys.
Especially the way this state. week started. But anyway, I want to thank all the listeners again. Follow us on the podcast platform of your choice. The flagship one is Podomatic.com. Everything goes up there first, but it's also on SoundCloud, Stitcher.com, somewhere on iTunes. And if at all possible, if you can just go to yours.org, even if you don't listen there, there's a way of just voting with a penny or two, and it puts us at the top of the list on what's hot and brings more listeners to us. So we appreciate all that. We'll be back next week, approximately 12.05 p.m., I hope, with another edition of the show. And again, thanks to Alex, thanks to Andy, thanks to Colleen, Lee, and back next week with Augie. You've been listening to The Henry Rank Show.
Drama, only attracted to things that'll bring you trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop.